Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del. This is where you get to hear the stories of members of Lifestyles that are either totally changed their lives already or in the process of doing so. Today, I have an interesting case study here. We have Chad Byzantine from Fenton, Michigan. Chad started in single-family houses and then decided to make the jump into multifamily, and he's happy he's here to tell this story today. Chad, welcome to the show.
Hey, Del. Thanks a lot for having me today.
So, Chad, new first time on the show. So why don't you go ahead and share with everybody a little bit about your background, how you grew up, where you're from, and then we'll move into your career and then your move into investing. So go ahead and start out with, you know, who you are, where you come from.
Sure. So I grew up kind of out in the middle of nowhere, I guess you could say. It was really just, us and the horse and the dirt bikes and my two sisters, my mom and dad. And so, you know, our whole life, really, we didn't have a whole bunch. So we really didn't know much else. So when we grew up, it was kind of, you kind of get what you get. And that's really it. So My mom grew up. She was as she was bringing us up, she kind of worked as a secretary. My dad sort of worked in the plant, the vehicle assembly plant. So pretty much in the automotive space was our whole family legacy, I guess. Going back, you know, my parents or my dad primarily, and my grandpa and his grandpa. So very much that's in our blood, certainly. But as we went on, it was pretty nice because, you know, you didn't really know anything else, but my dad sort of got involved into, you know, drugs and really the ugly side of working in the plant environment. And, so that sort of changed my perspective on life. And, you know, and I kind of looked at that and I said, well, you know, I don't know if I really want to go that path. I probably want something different. And so, you know, I decided, I mean, I was pretty smart when it comes to math and that kind of thing. So I said, you know, I'm going to take a different tact and I'm going to do exactly what my mom said to do. And that is go get a job, go to school, and go that path. So that's sort of the path that I eventually took, but, it was a pretty interesting childhood though, for sure.
Yeah, well, Pat, you've got down here in your resume that as a youth, around 16 years of age, you decided to do some entrepreneurial activities. Entrepreneurialism, big word, struck you at an early age. Why don't you share with people what brought that out of you at such an early age?
Well, you know, I guess it really kind of goes back to, I would say, if you wanted to pinpoint it, I would say that it was probably by the time I was 8 years old. You know, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer and I had such an empathy for her and I wanted to help her so much. I told her, I said, you know what? Don't worry about working, Mom. You know, I'm going to take care of you the rest of your life. Don't worry about it. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to figure it out. And so really starting from that point, you know, I had always wanted to get into things, you know, so starting when I was, I don't know, maybe even 16, 17 years old, I went and I started selling Cutco knives. And so doing that for a little while, that was kind of interesting. You know, I did pretty good at that. So I sold, you know, knives to my whole entire family and some of my family friends. And then I kind of ran out of family friends and family. So that kind of faded away and it was a lot of work. So I said, you know, that's probably not for me. Then I got into selling prepaid legal services. That was probably around age 20 or so. And I did pretty good at that. I did a little bit better. So I had a few more friends. My sales skills improved a little bit. And so, you know, I became the manager level, whatever that means. And so, you know, I remember 1 month I made I made $1,200, and I was jumping for joy, and I said, oh, my gosh, look at this. But then I went back and looked at it, and it was like I spent, I think, about, I don't know, probably 35 hours at least to make $1,200. I probably spent 30, 35 hours a week in presentations, preparation, meetings in order to make, you know, $1,200 a month. So I said, well, you know, it's I'm not really in control, so I don't really like that. So then I kind of went on and I kind of, me and my friends founded an automotive sales company. So we'd buy cars, and we'd fix them up, put some elbow grease into them. And, you know, we were going to college at the time. I guess this is when I was, you know, early 20s. And we'd buy them and we'd sell them hopefully to a greater fool. But, you know, it doesn't work out so well when that greater fool ends up being you. So we had that happen a couple times and then we said, oh, man, that's. We just don't know enough when we're buying cars at the auction to be able to say if this is a good deal or not. So we kind of went away from that. but then I went on to coding a real estate trading system. So that was in my mid to later 20s. And that went swimmingly for about a year and a half. I was making on the order of about 40% per year for about a year and a half. That was kind of my rate. But then what happened in the flash crash, you know, I started to make a lot of money right during that event. But then what was interesting is about 2 weeks after that, the wheels started to fall off. And so I was like, what in the world is going on? So all the books that you read, they all say, you know, make sure you don't stop trading. Make sure you stay in it. Don't get out of it. Don't get out of it, because that's the time when it turns around and comes back. So I said, OK, well, you know, I'm taking a lot of faith here because I'm watching my portfolio go down and down and down and down and down until it hit a threshold of about, you know, 80% loss. That's an 80% loss in about, you know, a couple of weeks or so. And so, I, you know, I just said, I can't do this anymore. This is incredible. So, you know, I said, well, what I learned from that is that every system will work until it doesn't work anymore. And so that was kind of, I said, I can't speculate with money. And again, you know, I spend probably 30 hours, you know, this is at this time, I have a lovely wife and I have a full-time job and I'm still working 30 hours a week, essentially on the side doing this, you know. And I remember coming home and my wife would say, hey, are you gonna have dinner with us today? Or, you know, are you just going to stay in the office? And I said, I just have to do this one thing. It was always just this one thing. And so that was kind of a slap in the face to say, okay, that's kind of silly. And so that was kind of, I guess, going through my 20s, you know, in early teens or late teens through my 20s. But then after that, you know, I kind of got into real estate.
So let's take that situation there and explain how you got into real estate and why. I mean, you learned lesson number one that I learned. All young guys have to learn this lesson. Rule one, don't lose money. There should probably be rule 1A and 1B, and the second one is don't work 80 hours a week to make 10 cents, which you found out. Those are really good lessons to learn at an early age. Get that out of the way. But what drew you into real estate? Your resume says you fell face first into resume. What does that mean?
Yeah, so that was a funny story. So in 2011, you know, the market, the housing market was garbage. We had the fortunate opportunity to buy our house at the peak of the market. So, but fortunately, you know, this is our first house. So we said, okay, you know, we're going to buy a modest house, which is nice because if the market tanks, then it's nice to take a loss on a modest house than it is, you know, a nicer house, let's say. So that was our situation. So what happened is we had bought ours for, I think it was about just over 100,000. And so we then, you know, at the time I was still going to school. And then we came across, We came across then a house that was down more closer to where my wife works. So from there, our house essentially was upside down by about $30,000. So we said, okay, do we want to go ahead and, you know, take this $30,000 to the closing table to pay someone to buy our house? Or should we go ahead and, you know, take this gain on this larger house And I knew that, you know, the house was selling.
Chad, we're going to have to pick up the answer. Chad, we're going to have to pick up the answer to that question after the break, okay? Because we've run up against a hard break. We'll be right back with Chad Brizendine and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for over 25 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 10 of the last 10 years. It's easy to see why Think Realty Magazine named us the best in the U.S. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Chad Brizendine from Fenton, Michigan. Chad started with single family houses and moved his way up to multifamily houses. As we go into break, Chad got cut off telling a story about having a personal, trying to decide on his first personal residence. Chad, pick that back up from the beginning of that story because people just tuning in now won't know what you're talking about.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, we had purchased our first house at, you know, a relatively low rate, but then the market corrected. And once it did that, we were presented with an opportunity to buy a much nicer house in the area that we want to be to accommodate the family that we will eventually have. And so, I said, oh, let's do this because this is a great opportunity. I don't care. You know, this is one of the only moments that I was a more type A personality. I said, I don't care how we're going to figure it out, but we're going to figure it out. So we bought the house that we wanted to get into down in Fenton. And then the other house, I had really no other choice. So I went ahead and that's when I started rental business. You know, that's when I became a landlord. And so when I went into it, you know, you take nice pictures of the house and the house was nicely updated. You know, we had a new roof and everything on it. It was nice. And then you put it on Craigslist and, you know, it's about, I don't know, you get about 20 or 30 people that want to rent the house. But then you get this one person that is very, very insistent. And they come and they have the money and they're the first person in line. And so, you know, we brought her in, we showed her the house and, she had brought the first month rent and the month and a half security deposit. She said, here you go. I want to move in ASAP. And so, you know, of course, what you teach, there should be just red flags coming out my ears. But, you know, I didn't know that then because I wasn't a Lifestyles member at that time. So I went ahead and I said, you know, afterwards, I talked to my wife and I said, well, look, she works, you know, under the table at a gas station that happens to be her boyfriend. This sounds really kind of sketchy to me. I don't think we should have her move in. And then my wife said, well, you know, she seems so nice and her kids have autism. And I used to teach autistic kids and, oh my gosh, she is this, you know, the best thing going. So I said, I don't know, but okay, let's try it. So as you can imagine, it was a painful experience. So the first month, you know, obviously we had that up front. So that was good. That was really the only good month, I'll tell you. So that month went by and I was as happy as a clam. In the meantime, I was searching on how to be a landlord on the internet. Then the second month came and it was only, you know, a partial payment. And so we're hounding her, trying to get the money out of her. And then the third month came and there was nothing. And so we had to evict her. And then she did, you know, several thousand dollars worth of damage to the house. And so that was like painful lesson number one in real estate. And it was right off the bat. So, you know, and I don't consider
that
myself,
sounds like a really good reason to go join. That sounds like a really good reason to go join Lifestyles Unlimited to me.
Yes. And that was exactly what happened. So, you know, I was searching. I said, you know, how do I do this right? And what's the best way to do this? So I started searching all over the place on the internet. I came across Lifestyles and then, you know, I kind of knew that if I were to buy this house at a market rate, of what the houses were selling for, I'd be making cash flow, but you know, we had this mortgage and that's fine. But it was remarkable because my interest just, it wouldn't stop, you know, and so I was very insistent about that. And so I joined Lifestyles. I figured out how to do it right. I figured out how to screen people. And so the next tenant, we brought her in. She had great credit. And I'll tell you, she's still in the house today. And, you know, we've developed quite the friendship. And, you know, so it's this night and day difference between going blind. It's like going blind into a sword fight. You know, you're gonna get your arm chopped off if you go into this business without understanding it and understanding it well. So, you know, thanks for putting the plan together to educate these people, because, you know, you're really a lifesaver when it comes to real estate.
Well, that's great. So got a winner under our belt. What did we do next?
So after that, you know, getting the entire map and learning the business model, and then, you know, kind of figuring out, you know, you ask the question oftentimes, Del, you say, like, what was your epiphany moment? Or what was the aha moment for you? And it's really interesting, because the aha moment for me was that the business is really just as simple as best product, best price, best people. So based on that, I said, okay, well, I'm going to go and then do exactly what Del said. And so that blew my mind that it was that simple, that all business, you know, so I'm learning this, and I'm absorbing this, and that just clicked. And so I said, okay, well, that's easy enough. I can do best product. I can look and see what the prices are, so I can price all of these homes right where I need to be. So that's what I did. So the next deal, I went ahead, and I remember I went through and I found this deal, and it was funny, because I used a friend as a real estate agent, and then unfortunately she was like a residential person, and she wasn't really an investor friendly person. So she was down in Florida when I found this house, and I said, well, hey, I need to buy this house, I think. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm down in Florida, I can't help you out. So I said, okay. So I got on there and I found a bunch of investor homes that were sold, and I found the realtor that sold that. So I called him. And he said, oh, I'm also in Florida, but I tell you what, I'm going to send all the documentation over that you need to put in the offer, and we'll get it going. So this was one of the best relationships that I've made, you know, in terms of my investment career up in Michigan. I mean, he was great. He hooked me up with everything. And so it's really that developing that network. And so I bought that one for about, let's see, that one I bought for $76,000. I put about $15,000 into it, which was about $35,000 out of my pocket. I didn't have a hard money lender at the time. So that thing cash flowed about $500 a month for about a year and a half until I sold it. I sold it for about $130,000. So we made about 125-130% return on that in the matter of a year and a half. And so that was a beautiful thing. And so that kind of really cemented the whole idea and the philosophy that if you do it right and you capitalize up front, then, you know, these things really fall into place. You know, the whole system works if you just kind of listen to what Del says. So that was fantastic.
So you have two rent houses. Did you do a third one before you went to multifamily, or where did we go from there?
Yeah. I picked up a couple more, and really just the same, almost the same numbers. I mean, really, at the end of the day, you know, I'm buying them for, you know, in the 70s. I'm selling them for about 120. I'm putting about $20,000 in rehab. And so all of them are, you know, right near or above the 100% return on investment in about a year and a half to 3 years, I guess, was the longest I hold one of them. But then I kind of decided that the single family homes are really nice. But what's really nice is the scalability of multifamily. So looking at the single family, I kind of, you know, of course, everyone sits down and they put this calculation together, the spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet says, okay, so, you know, let's say we make $400 to $500 a month, and then how many do I need to replace my income? So, and then I'm like,
well,
oh,
Brad,
crap.
What we're going to need to do, so, Brad, we're going to need to replace the income of this radio show by going to commercial. So pick it up at the back end. We'll talk about getting into multifamily. We'll be right back with Brad Bizendine and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
get total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. Over 25 years ago, Dell Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Dell has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the five ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Dell Walmsley.
Welcome back to Dell Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Dell is Chad Byzantine out of Fenton, Michigan. Chad's talking about his multifamily property now. He's already discussed his entrance and fulfillment in single family. Now he's moving into multifamily. So, Chad, pick it back up on this multifamily deal. But before we get started there, let's talk about you went to the 2-day. You talked earlier about an aha moment of best product, best price. But you came out of the 2 days still soundly in the single family market situation. Tell us what you got out of the 2-day towards the multifamily, and then really how did it sort of seep into your mindset from already doing single family?
Well, I mean, that's a great question because as an engineer, I am naturally skeptical about everything. So I went into the 2-day and I saw what you presented on the single family home stuff. And it just clicked. And I said, man, this is it. If I can figure this out, then I am gold. And so I shut my mind to the whole multifamily side of it. I said, I don't even want to think about that. I just want to focus on and get really good at the single family home. So that's what I did for a number of years. But then, as you say, I'm at the expo a few years later after joining Lifestyles. And it's one of your mentors. You know, he comes up to me and I'm having a conversation with him just as we are right now. And I said, yeah, it would be really cool to go into multifamily. But, you know, I'm just, I don't know about that. It's just, it seems like it's really overwhelming. There's a lot to it, a lot of moving parts. I don't know if that's necessarily for me because I've got a full-time job. And, you know, he's kind of said it right. He said, stop being a sissy, man. You just got to take it and you got to go with it because, you know, this stuff isn't as hard as it seems once you've done it, just like it was with single family. I was scared to death, but then I took one step and then, it became the second one is easier. The third one was easier yet. And so, that's kind of the progression. I think, I was looking for, to hear it from the multifamily side. And that was when your mentor said that. And so that was really it when he said that. And then I'm surrounded, you know, at the expo by all these multi-millionaires that have done this and they have done it very well. You know, a lot of them, a lot like me, you know, some of them, this particular mentor that was talking to me, telling me that I'm a sissy and stop being one. And he was also an engineer. And so, you know, a very accomplished, you know, career. But I think nevertheless, it was good to see other people like me that could be successful in multifamily. You know, he had a job before he had a good career before that. But yet he had the time to go and put these deals together to make this be his primary source of income. And so that's really what I was looking for, is some sort of validation, someone to push me off the cliff and say, yes, this is where you should go, young grasshoppers. So that was perfect timing, really.
So after this guy pushed you a little bit, and we all needed a little shove now and then, did you go back and take the 2-day again to get sharpened on multifamily? Did you start going to multifamily road trips? How did you, as an engineer, get yourself primed to jump into this?
Well, I think I probably only watched it about 7 or 8 times, maybe in the next weekend. So that's sort of how I operate. You know, typically, if I can't master it, then I don't really want to do it. That's just how my brain works. And so, but then if I do get a glimpse of, okay, yes, I can do it and I can achieve at this, and I think I can, then I immerse myself in it to the point where, you know, that's all I focus on. That's one of my strengths, is I can stay focused on something and not be distracted for hours and hours and hours. And so that's what I did, is I went, I took the class over and over again. I started going to the expo every year. And then I, you know, from there, I went ahead and joined the, you know, the PIG membership. And then from there, I met some really great people. And then from that, you know, came my first deal, you know, with one of the other members. And that was a huge turning point. And so, and a really very good learning experience for me to go through this. And go through some troubles, some trials, some tribulations on this apartment complex, which I think sets you up and builds character for the next apartment complexes that, you know, you kind of line up, especially if you're going to plan on doing this for the long term. It's nice to kind of get those lessons out of the way so that your lessons are, you know, they're not as impactful, I guess, once you get into the bigger ones, because you've already learned them. So, but that was kind of the progression, I guess, in joining the PIG membership and then kind of getting set up with some of the other members that are local to Michigan, and then kind of partnering with them and buying our first deal.
So you went in with more than one person on the first deal, Chad?
Yes. Yep. Myself and Greg Scott and Nicole, his wife, we went through and purchased this deal back in, was it September of 2016? And so the, you know, the both of us kind of ran this thing, and it was in the beginning, it was challenging. You know, we had to fire our property manager within about a month and a half time. So that was very learning. So the next time, you know, we learned some vetting strategies for the property managers, because, you know, I mean, this is a smaller deal. We just wanted to make sure that, you know, being in the Lifestyles Network is great, you know, down in Texas, but we were a little scared. You know, both of us are both a little hesitant too, to say, well, you know, what happens if, you know, the folks down in Texas, what happens if they don't want to invest with us? So we thought it would be prudent to buy a small deal to where, you know, we're investing most of the capital. And so, you know, that's what we did. So our raise wasn't real big, but I tell you, we got a great response. And so we raised the money and ended up buying this thing. So, you know, it was really nice to have the support of the Lifestyles team, you know, from JB to Kim McLean to, you know, Don to really everyone. They helped us through this. And especially in the first couple months, that, you know, kind of those trying times when we fired our property manager, we took over and then we had to go and find a better property manager. And that's sort of the problem too, is, you know, not a lot of people are interested in managing a 24 unit deal, but we found one. And so now we're looking pretty good right now. So, you know, we're looking at selling this year, but really that all kind of led up to really just all that hard work and all that dedication is I guess that's the result, is at the end of the few years, you kind of blink your eyes and all of a sudden you've got a deal that, you know, is exceeding expectations really on all levels. So we're real excited about it. And, you know, I'm really blessed to walk in the path that I have to bring me to this point.
So do you look upon this one as an educational opportunity? Is that what you're seeing it as? Or did you actually make profits and making money with it?
No, for sure. It's both. I mean, I think every deal you buy, profitable or not, is an education seminar, if you will. And so with this one, we absolutely made money. You know, our projected returns to our passives, we're kind of blowing those out of the water. Essentially, we've increased NOI by, you know, 30% from the normalized expenses from where we, you know, started out for the NOI. And so we're excited about that. And, you know, looking at the cash flow, I mean, we said that, okay, maybe in year two, we'll be at 8% cash flow. But, you know, the operations from the building are more in the, you know, 11, 12% range, something like that. And so that's, and it's continued to be strong. So we said that we would have average rents at year three at $710. And, you know, the last six leases we've had, we've rented out at 800. So we're, you know, we're vastly better than what our pro formas were. And, you know, we're keeping a pretty tight ship. You know, we're getting the turns done very, very quickly. And, you know, we're doing everything we can to make it so it's a better experience for our passives. And so, you know, looking at a real conservative cap rate, you know, we looked at and we said that return on the equity, you know, from selling the property, we'd be at around 55% or so. But, I mean, looking to see what the property around the corner sold for just last 2 months ago, you know, we're looking at over doubling our investors' money. And, well, I mean, if we sell it before September, it'll be less than 3 years. So we're real excited to where we're going right now. And so, you know, they say that the market's slowing down, but I tell you, it doesn't look like it's still.
Yeah, I don't see the market slowing down either. So let's not spread that rumor because I don't see it at all. So you're looking at if you sell for around the same price as somebody else down the street sold, you're looking, Greg, about 100% capital gain for your investors and then a cash flow of about 11% per year annually. Those are phenomenal numbers, especially when you realize the cash flow is tax free. That's really, really pushing some good numbers on there. Let's see. We only have about 30 seconds. Well, we got to go to break now. So we'll take a short break. Be right back with Chad Bizendine and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Chad Bizendine. And Chad, we're here in the last segment, so why don't we wrap it up and start talking about a little bit more personal stuff. Where do you see your future going in all this?
Well, I mean, based on what I've learned so far and then the connections I've made in the industry, and, you know, I think my future looks like I'll probably go and continue on the syndication path for the next, you know, I don't know, 10 years or so, with the eventual goal is to convert over to, you know, my own portfolio entirely when I get to the size that I want. And so I think syndication is my future, and I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a nice ride for the next 3 years. I guess I'll say that for sure. So, you know, we've got some contacts with some other people that are local, which is really helping us out. And, you know, so I intend on staying real close to those guys and then kind of work my way into more and more deals. So, you know, I'd like to buy a deal or two this year and maybe a deal or two next year, you know. So we'll kind of see where it goes. But that's really the plan. And, you know, I would like to walk away from my job sooner rather than later. You know, I mean, I like my job. It's fun. It's interesting. But, you know, maybe even going down to 2 days a week, what I'm doing just to satisfy my nerdy engineering tendencies. Would probably be fine with me. And then I could focus the rest on what really makes money and what really, you know, provides wealth for my family.
Well, you know that you're going to have to let that job go if you're going to continue to syndicate, because syndication is a full-time job. It's a full-time business. And you're investing people's money. So, I mean, you're playing around with the 24 units, not the same thing as playing around with something larger. Also, in that, I think you might underestimate how much money you actually can make on the larger ones to where you can get out of your job sooner than later, especially if you can incrementally downsize at your job. That's an absolute positive for anybody to be able to do it that way, especially if you're a type B personality like I am. You are a type B engineer type person. To decompose that job one piece at a time is surely something mentally you can wrap your arms around much easier than quitting it completely. So those are all good things. So let's shift gears now. beautiful wife, three kids. Tell us about that story. Tell us a little about the soft side of you.
Funny story, because so really our family came about. We tried to conceive. We tried to do that for a while, and it was a very stressful time in my life and our life as a family, my wife and I. And we couldn't have kids, so we ended up adopting our first child. And then, so that was really a beautiful experience. And so we've got a beautiful 8-year-old boy because of that. And then we ended up having our child biologically, our second child, and then our third, and now our fourth, we adopted. So now I guess the bio that I sent is maybe just needed to be updated. So this past summer, we ended up bringing home our fourth child. So we're getting up to that basketball status almost for as many kids as we have. We could almost have a basketball team. So, that's an important part of it. And, trying to teach the kids and bring the kids into, these kinds of understanding of money. Because I was never really taught that. It was always like paycheck to paycheck. And, it was really literally survival mode because my mom was going in and out of the hospital for treatment. And we never had time to think about that, And so now I think I'm blessed with the ability to say, hey, kids, this is where we're going to go in the future. And let me just teach you about this. And so I try to put little bite-sized pieces, I try to give to my kids, as we go. But it's really a great experience to see them kind of grow and understand, ask questions about it. So very exciting.
Yeah, that is to me, it's interesting to see what are the driving forces behind developing a large family. Did you come from a large family or your wife?
My wife, she came from her extended family is very large. Her grandma has, several. I think there's about six of them of her aunts and uncles. So that family is large, and that's kind of a part of it. And so when I see that, it's very nice to see when you have a grandpa and grandma and you're surrounded by your immediate children, and then you're also surrounded by their children. And that to me was, part of the reason that I said, it'd be great to have a lot of kids. My wife, she's a teacher, and she absolutely loves doing that. But also it's the experience of, being the kids being together and seeing the dynamic between all of them as they run around like crazy. And part of it was, when I grew up, I had my two sisters and we played in the woods and we were, constantly doing something. And so that's a part of it that I want to kind of maintain in my family, is to have, enough kids for our kids to be able to play together, and really have more experiences because you have more kids. So maybe one goes off, has a scholarship to play football. Maybe one of them goes over and does a mission trip over in a different country. I don't know. But all these different experiences, I think, really give you that sense of belonging in life, when you raise these kids and they have these kinds of experiences. So that's really the motivation behind it, I would say, overall.
Well, to me, it's very impressive that you're able to grow your businesses, grow your family while you and the wife both still work. You're developing the quality of life that so many other people wish they had. I mean, just to be able to build that family and yet not be sidetracked and be able to also build the business at the same time is a wonderful thing. Brad, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And the rest of you out there, remember this. Brad, myself, and everybody else at Lifestyles, we're not doing it for the money. We're doing it for the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.